Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our very first actual learning of Perek Aleph of Tehillim. We thank God did 3 full weeks of introduction, and we're ready to begin the Sefer of Tehillim itself. And this week, to begin Perek Aleph, I want to start with an intro to the Perek itself and raise a very important question about the structure of these psukim and this Perek, and in particular to raise an issue that Chazal raised, which may come as a shock to many of us. If you ask the average person how many prakim, how many chapters are there in Tehillim, well, there are 150, correct? Well, not so fast. Chazal make an interesting point in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Tes Amud Beis to Daf Yud Amud Aleph. They raise the question at the end of our Shmona Esrei, at the end of our Amidah, we say the pasuk after the last bracha, that our words should be received before the Almighty, our thoughts as well should be accepted by Hashem. The Gemara asks, why did Chazal put that pasuk at the end of our Amidah, at the end of our Shmona Esrei? And the answer the Gemara gives is because David HaMelech put that pasuk at the end of the first set of Tehillim, Perek Yud Tes. At the end of Perek Yud Tes, that pasuk appears, and therefore they figured to put it at the end of our Shmona Esrei. So you ask the obvious question, well, hold on. David HaMelech put the pasuk at the end of 19 chapters, and originally, though, today, we have 19 brachos in the Shmona Esrei, but back then, when they made the original Amidah, there were only 18 brachos. So how could they suggest that we model after David HaMelech if he put the pasuk of Yirlo Ratzon at the end of 19 chapters of Tehillim, and we put it at the end of 18 chapters? And so the Gemara says that originally, the first 2 chapters of Tehillim, the first one, Ashri Ha'ish and Lama Rigshu Goyim, Chada Parshahi, they were originally one set, they were one unit, one perek. And therefore, in essence, David HaMelech put that pasuk at the end of 18, not 19, parallel to our Shmona Esrei. The Gemara says the first 2 chapters are really one. And the Gemara goes through also other issues regarding that, and it says that you'll notice that any parsha which David felt very dear, he began with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei. You'll notice, the Gemara says, that the first word of the first parak is Ashrei, and one of the last words of Perek Beis, in our Tehillim, of course, is Ashrei as well, Ashrei Kol Chosevo. And therefore it tells you that these originally were one Perek together. When David wrote them, he intended that Perek Aleph and Perek Beis really are one unit, are one chapter together. That's what the Gemara concludes. So what must have happened? The Maharsha on the Gemara there suggests that maybe when Shmuel HaKatan added the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei, Bala Malshinim, Chazal appropriately to parallel again, they also split the first 2 chapters in order to make the first set in Tehillim, once again, parallel to our Shmona Esrei. But again, those first 2 chapters really are one, and they were only split to correspond to the extra bracha added to Shmona Esrei. There's actually another assertion suggestion, which I really enjoyed. There's a beautiful sefer called Kamotzei Shalal Rav. It's on Chumash, it's on Navi, and they also have it, I found, on Tehillim, where he gives a very unique suggestion for what happened here as well with these first two chapters. We all assume that Shmuel HaKatan composed this blessing of Olam Malshinim as a 19th bracha of our Shmona Esrei, but the truth is that according to some accounts, it's clear in Chazal that maybe there already was an allusion to Olam Malshinim earlier. What bracha did Shmuel HaKatan add? It was the bracha for those people, those Jews who were causing pain because of their being Malshin, their disparaging fellow Jews and reporting them to the authorities. There were those among us who painfully were kind of rebelling, giving us into the authorities, to the local government, and therefore he composed the bracha to Davin that they should not succeed and they're trying to bring us to a bad place. That was the bracha of Olam Malshinim. But apparently the Yalkut Shimoni, and as well in Esther and other places, alludes to the idea that there was an allusion in Shmona Esrei already to Olam Malshinim. In fact, He quotes the Medrash that Haman says to Achashverosh that one of the complaints he had against Klal Yisrael was that we were going to the shul, to the synagogue, to daven against the Zaydin, against those who were, again, were harming us, speaking badly about us. The obvious question is, how could Haman say to Achashverosh if the bracha wasn't even there yet? So apparently, some suggest, in our Shmona Esrei, part of the bracha of Al HaSadikim, the actual bracha from the original Shmona Esrei, also had a piece in it. Part of it was V'la Malshin. And Shmuel HaKatan didn't add a bracha, he simply made that its own bracha. Because it was such a problem in history, he thought it deserved its own bracha, and therefore he didn't create, as most of us assume, a new bracha, a 19th bracha to the Shmona Esrei. He simply took the bracha of Al HaTzadikim and separated from it V'la Malshin and made two brachos out of one. That's an amazing assertion. And again, it helps explain the idea that once they did that, then they also separated the first two topics, the first two chapters of Tehillim, to correspond to our Shmona Esrei. It's really a fascinating discussion about the first two chapters historically. Were they one? Are they two? And whatnot. I want to conclude with a beautiful thought from the Meiri, which I think really helps us understand this issue of whether or not these two chapters, Aleph and Beis, are one and are two, and what the themes are together. Because if you look at the themes of Perek Aleph, it talks about, you know, the tzaddikim, those who are righteous, who are so rooted, and compares, of course, to a tree, we'll get to that later, who are so rooted, they will flourish in a certain way, and those who are Rishayim, those who are the wicked, will be downcast, they'll be, you know, not successful, and they'll be downtrodden. That's the theme of Perek Aleph. Perek Beis speaks about the nations getting together and kind of conspiring against David and against Klal Yisrael, against the Jewish nation. So the Meiri points out that if you think about it, it's nice to say that these two chapters were one unit, their Chada Parsha, and they really weren't separate originally. They were only separated later. But how do you connect the themes? If the theme of Perek Aleph is that you have Tzadikim flourish and Rishayim will be punished and not flourish, how does the chapter Perek Beis talking about the conspiracy of nations against us relate to that? And so the Meiri says a beautiful thing. He says that if Perek Aleph teaches us that tzaddikim should flourish and Rishayim should not flourish, should not succeed, the obvious question that one may have philosophically is, hold on, don't we see all the time that Rishayim, in fact, do succeed and wicked do prosper? And it's kind of hard to understand. And so, Perek Beis discusses that issue. It says, you'll ask me the kasha, ask me the question, if Perek Aleph says that tzaddikim flourish and Rishayim do not, don't we find the nations conspiring and succeed at times to conspire against us and to attack us? And Perek Beis answers the question by saying Hashem will unravel all of their plans. Although they try to conspire against us, nevertheless, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Hashem will eventually unravel their plans. And that's how he merely explains how the first two chapters really were one. Because if the first chapter speaks about a rule that the tzaddikim flourish and Rishayim don't, the end of the chapter originally had to answer the question, if that's true, how do we understand the seeming success of the Rishayim? And the answer is, although they conspire against us seemingly successfully on the surface at first, Hashem, sof kol sof, in the end, will unravel their plans and give them their due punishment. But again, this is really Perek Aleph, an intro to understand the point of Chazal, that the original surah of Tehillim was to have Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, the first and second chapter, as one unit, to explain how that happened and to understand the connection between them. Next week in Mirtzah Hashem, we're going to focus on Perek Aleph itself and talk about the major theme and the words, the unique language used in the Perek. Looking forward to next week already. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.